Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's the Red Zone on Cards Radio 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's.
Holy crap. I don't know who the hell we think we are.
My wife can score more than 2 buckets on 11 shots.
The kids are playing their tail off and the coaches are screwing it up.
Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.
They're supposed to be mature adults, but they're really not. Who's the kid here? Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me?
Now here's your host, Nick Coffey.
All right, let's do this. Good morning and welcome in. You are now in the Red Zone here on 790 KRD, and we are fueled by Thornton's. My name is Nick Coffey, the marvelous Matt Allen, alongside today, and I needed this show to start this morning. I've had one heck of a morning, and about 30 seconds ago, something happened that was very fitting to my morning. I've got my headphones in my ears, and I wear earbuds. I don't wear actual headphones over my ear. I've always done that, but I'm thinking, well, why can't I hear anything in my headphones? Why? What's going on is the studio broke, and I didn't have them actually plugged into the board, which is a huge, it's a big part in actually being able to hear something. So anyways, it's the second day in a row where I'm running on fumes. I've had Sunday. I really had no excuse. I stayed up way too late binging this show that I love on Amazon Prime. It's called Outer Range. It's so good. Last night though, my son, he'll be 2 years old at the beginning of June. He was up all night, feverish, and that's got us all worried given his situation. So I don't have much sleep, and then it gets worse. It gets worse. And I want to go ahead and apologize if the stench that I have on me gets over there to the marvelous Matt Allen. We're in two separate rooms, so I don't think it will impact him. But I'm not going in your control room today, Matt, and I would just warn you might want to stay out of the studio. I don't have gas this morning, but last night, I guess my son didn't finish his bottle in the car, and he decided to throw it, and it went under the seat, and I didn't realize it, and some of it spilled onto the floorboard of my car. And it's not just the floor mat, because I could take the floor mat out. I could just wash that, get a new one. It's actually on the floor, like the under the seat, which is awful. So my vehicle smells like rotten milk. So that's why I've got my windows out. I don't know if you noticed that out there, Matt, but it is, I may go put the car up for sale today. Wasn't there an episode of Seinfeld where Jerry had a, was it Kramer or Jerry? One of them had a smell in their vehicle they couldn't get rid of. And it was just so bad that like you couldn't give the car away. Hopefully with the windows down in my Volkswagen, the Atlas, hopefully that gets it to where it's not as bad. But I'm
B.O.
Yeah, it was B.O. But they didn't know who
mechanic.
That's right.
I think they thought it was the mechanic.
You're right. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. But it wasn't Putty, right?
I believe.
It was Robert from Everybody Loves Raymond. No?
I believe it was wasn't it the guy before Putty that made him find Putty because he had to get a new mechanic?
That's right.
Maybe. That seems like it. That's what it was.
I don't know his real name, but the guy who plays Everybody Loves Raymond's brother.
Brad Garrett.
Robert Barone. But Brad Garrett, that's his legal name. But he's the one who stole Jerry's car because Jerry didn't love it enough. He wasn't taking care of it. You remember?
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, that's
he
right.
He wasn't driving it enough. So my vehicle, I'm not kidding you. Like I told my wife, she was like, you're overreacting. You're just being you. And I'm like, no, honey, I'm telling you, you won't get in this car again unless this stench gets better. And, you know, just doing a little Googling this morning, like one of the worst smells that lingers that is hard to get rid of is rotten milk. And that's what is in the bottom of my vehicle, and it's terrible. So I don't think I smell like it yet, but like if I went on a long road trip, if my commute was longer and I had to sit in the car for longer than I did this morning, then I probably would have just worked from home because it's that bad. So, but hey, the show has started. We are up and running, and we're going to – the good thing is we got a lot to talk about today. And I know you guys are going to be locked in from start to finish, interactive with us. And you can take us with you wherever you go, whatever you're doing. Listen live on the iHeartRadio app. Listen live at 790KRD.com. And if you have a smart speaker, just say, hey, Alexa, play 790KRD, and you should be good to go. I don't know if the smart speaker has a brain that's evolving over time, but they used to say you had to be very specific when telling your smart speaker what to do. Like, hey, Alexa, play Cards Radio 790KRD on the iHeartRadio app. You might have had to actually say WKRD. Well, now if you just say, hey, Alexa, play 790KRD, she knows what to do. She can get it done for you. So, again, a lot of ways to listen in, plenty of ways to interact. Your best bet is to do it on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line, 502-653-0790. Again, 502-653-0790. It's the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. Members get more at LNN Federal Credit Union. You can learn more or open an account today at lnfcu.com. All right, so let me go ahead and remind you once again this morning to get your day started at Thornton's. They've got breakfast options. Best donuts in town. If you don't believe me, check them out for yourself. You will not be disappointed. I'm sure you have other donut spots that you like, but if you are a snob of donuts and you think, well, I'm not doing gas station convenience store donuts because, you know, I've got a donut shop in my neighborhood. Well, that's fine. I'm sure their donuts are good as well. But if you haven't had Thornton's Donuts, give them a shot because they're delicious. They're humongous. And they're made fresh every single morning at their commissary, then delivered to each of the Kentuckiana locations. There's nearly 50 of them. So wherever you are in Kentuckiana, there is likely one that is near you. All right, so we've been talking about this for weeks now, that the deadline to enter your name in the transfer portal is May 1st, which, of course, is coming up on Sunday. And I didn't know if we were going to see more movement or not, but if yesterday was an indication of how the final week is going to shape up here in free agency, essentially in college basketball, it's going to be active because there's a handful of guys that entered the portal yesterday that I'm hoping Louisville gets involved in, and there is a new name that we now know Louisville is in the mix for, and that is Tyrese Hunter. We've talked about him, but there was really no way of knowing. He's one of those guys that clearly was going to have a lot of options once he put his name in the portal, and that's exactly what happened. And then yesterday, he decides to update his list and say which schools he's considering. There's only about five or six of them, and Louisville's one of them. And this is a guy that he's a game changer. He is. He would change how we talk about Louisville in this upcoming season. I know Brandon Huntley Hatfield's the first transfer to commit, and he's a nice piece, and he could really help you. Guy's got a lot of upside, and Kenny Payne is believed to be really, really exceptional at developing front court players. So I'm not going to knock the addition that was made over the weekend, but this guy, Tyrese Hunter, a point guard, would change how we talk about this Louisville team. He was a top five point guard coming out of high school a year ago, a top 40 player overall, was Big 12 Freshman of the Year last year at Iowa State. And yes, that Iowa State team, we talked about them a lot too during the tournament because that's a team that won two games a year ago. Two games, and then they made it all the way to the Sweet 16 the following season. And the guy running the show for that Iowa State team is Tyrese Hunter. He set all kinds. I mean, just about every freshman record for a guard when it comes to, like, assists, he's got it. So I don't know when he's going to make visits or anything like that, but that's a guy that the obvious observation here is he's a game changer. And you need guards in a major way. But also, are we going to put expectations on Kenny Payne to, like, hey, you need to go get this guy, go get it done? Like, not to say if he doesn't, oh, what a failure. The Kenny Payne era is off to a rough start. Because anybody that would have that reaction is just being silly and not rational and maybe just hoping to be right that Kenny Payne wouldn't work out. So I won't do that. But can't we meet in the middle and say, hey, you need this guy. You have maybe more to sell than anybody that's going after this kid. And by the way, he's considering Louisville along with Gonzaga, Kansas, Purdue, Tennessee, and Texas. So the competition is tough. But Louisville has one other guard. And I know L. Ellis really wants to be a point guard, and I think he can be a point guard. And I hope he doesn't take offense to this. But L. Ellis is a combo guard. He's a scoring guard. Doesn't mean he can't play point. I'm not acting like he doesn't have the capabilities to play point. But if you just let L. Ellis run the show and be a distributor, you're not getting the most out of L. Ellis. Tyrese Hunter is a point guard. A true point guard. So, again, to say you better beat out Gonzaga, Kansas, Purdue, Tennessee, and Texas, I feel like that's asking too much. And it probably is. But this guy is needed in a major way. And I feel like if it was Chris Mack, fans would be saying, you better go get this kid. You better go get him because you've got all the minutes to sell him. And you're Louisville. Go get him. And I'm not doing that, but like, are we in agreement how important it is? Because there's not another guy out there like this, right, at this position. There's other good talent in the portal. And look, there may be more names that enter from now until Sunday. But as of right now, this is best case scenario for you if you can land this kid. But again, look who you're competing against. Gonzaga, Kansas, Purdue, Tennessee, and Texas. He's also a really good defender too, by the way. So that's now going to be sort of, I think, the focus for Louisville's targets when it comes to guys that are in the portal. And there's other names that entered the portal yesterday, too, that, again, it's too early to know who's going to reach out to him. You guys remember Jay Heath, who played for Boston College, ended up transferring to Arizona State. He's back in the portal, 43% three-point shooter. A guy who I've heard of just because I'm a college basketball dork. I'm not sure if you guys have, but Bailey Shireman was Summit League Player of the Year at South Dakota State. Really, really good player. Can shoot the lights out. Really good floor game. One of the best players in mid-major basketball. In fact, he might be the best. He's testing the draft waters. Probably not going to get much buzz there. And he's in the portal. So again, those just like Hunter last week when he entered the portal, everybody knew, uh-oh, this guy's going to have options. Well, now we know Louisville is one of his options. And fingers crossed that Kenny Payne and his staff can get it done. All right, some other things we'll get into today. Elon Musk bought Twitter, and I don't know what to expect. I don't know why that's such a story. I mean, my biggest reaction was Twitter's worth $44 billion. Twitter's free. How is Twitter? I mean, I'm sure they're making money through companies that advertise, and Twitter is a big platform. But, like, if Twitter's worth $44 billion, what's Instagram worth? What's Snapchat worth? What's Facebook worth? Because, I mean, Twitter, I use Twitter every day. I'm probably on Twitter more than any other app. But how do they make money other than advertising? I guess, I mean, again, that's probably a big amount of money they can make. But anyways, I keep hearing those that are leaning towards the right politically. And this is not I'm not giving political commentary or analysis, but like, are all those people really saying they're going to get off Twitter because Elon Musk has purchased it? Like, I've not heard anybody threaten to leave Twitter, but apparently maybe there is, and I just am missing it. But from what I've read, and all I've read was the statement from Elon Musk right as he was purchasing it and after the fact, like, I don't anticipate we see much change. But everybody's talking about it. All right, I did enjoy watching last night as the Nets got swept by the Celtics. And the Nets have to be like one of the big – I mean, think about – I don't know how it took me this long to really give it some thought. But with the Nets having Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, and Kevin Durant on their roster, unless you're like a Brooklyn Nets fan or like a Kevin Durant super fan, they're easily the most hateable team in the NBA, right? Maybe one of the most hateable teams in sports. Am I wrong? I mean, Ben Simmons is maybe the most pathetic professional athlete of all time. In fact, I've got to let you guys hear this. I know some of you don't care for Stephen A. Smith, but I could listen to Stephen A. Smith talk all day about Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving. He had some clips yesterday that I thought were not only spot on, but they were hilarious too, in the way, of course, Stephen A. Smith delivers his analysis. But they get swept, and I got to see a good chunk of the game, and Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant just looked completely checked out. And I don't want to do the cliche, generic, what does this mean for Kevin Durant's legacy? He can't be considered one of the best ever now because he got swept. Like, I don't even care about that conversation, so I'm not going to dive into it. But, like, this is a knock on KD, right? I mean, he looked disengaged. I mean, he's clearly one of the best players on the planet. But Kevin Durant, I don't think he's – Kevin Durant's in a different lane than Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons. One, because he's a lot better player, but also because, like, you respect how great he is. He can be unlikable. He doesn't have a lot of redeeming qualities that make him seem like this real likable NBA superstar. But anybody, even if you despise the man, he's damn good. Like when he went from OKC to Golden State to join a team that won, what, 73 games? I mean, that was a pathetic move. And I always will stand by that. I'll never back away from that. I know a lot of people agree with me, a lot of people don't. But still, that was a weak move. But it still doesn't mean he's not one of the best players on the planet and one of the best players of all time. So, like, I don't know if KD necessarily fits where Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons currently are, because Kyrie, I mean, I think Simmons is the worst because this is a guy who's just stealing money. I mean, he's just stealing money from the NBA. Oh, and by the way, I didn't even realize this. He filed some kind of a grievance to collect like $20 million from Philadelphia after not playing for them at all. Like, he's stealing money. And he just kind of seems like the worst. Kyrie Irving, I don't know if he's like a bad guy. And I did not give a flying rat's behind about his stance on COVID. I mean, I didn't agree with it. I thought he made himself seem like a fool at times. But, like, I don't care. I don't dislike Kyrie because of his stance on vaccination. But, like, he's just always had this, like, when he talked about the earth being flat and not round, he has a demeanor to me that gives off the vibe of, like, you guys just don't get it. I'm on a different level intellectually. You can't relate. Like, he's a weirdo, but he's also a damn good player. And look, so is Ben Simmons. As much as Ben Simmons is a joke and people make fun of the amount of money he's gotten through contracts and the fact that New Jersey traded for him or Brooklyn traded for him, I actually think he's different because he can't shoot, but he's a really, really good player. He's just an unlikable guy. So I took great satisfaction in last night in seeing the Nets lose. I did not take satisfaction in seeing the Mavericks get blown out. They lose 102-77. Yikes. The Raptors, they inch closer. They're still down 3-2, but that was a big win for them. And then, of course, we got a few more games tonight that we can get into. I'm starting to get worried about the Suns. Without Devin Booker, they're just not the Suns. And hell, you take the best player on any team away, and they're clearly going to have some struggles. But this Pelicans team, winning without Zion should be a bigger talking point. You guys know I'm pro-Zion. I think Zion gets picked on. I think he's been phenomenal in every chance at every level he's played, he's delivered and been as good as advertised, if not better. It's just he hasn't played a lot. And as much as I want to see him play, maybe this gets him out of New Orleans, which is what I've always wanted. Put him on a team that somebody cares about. Because even though the Pelicans are here and they may eventually get an upset in this series and knock off the number one seed in the West, they're still the Pelicans. Like, nobody cares about them. To me, they don't even seem like a real team because they're made up. Of all the NBA teams that are in the NBA right now, they're the only one that didn't exist whenever I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm being serious. Like, that's childish of me. I know there are expansion teams in other sports, but, like, because the Pelicans weren't around until, I don't know, whenever they launched in New Orleans, I just don't think of them as a real team. Like, the Hornets left and came back, but the Hornets were around when I was a kid. Other teams existed. They just changed names. Like, the Bullets went to the Wizards. Who else changed names? The Bobcats became something. I guess, are the Bobcats, now I'm confused. Did the Hornets go back to being the Bobcats, or are the Bobcats the Pelicans? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's not important. Anyways, we'll move on. All right, some other things I want to get into today. Some NFL draft stuff. Some wild draft numbers I want to share with you that really just puts it in perspective. And it's not going to be anything that's groundbreaking or surprising, but it really, really signifies just how dominant a select few teams in college are at producing NFL talent. I mean, it's unbelievable how many NFL draft picks three specific schools, and you can probably guess which ones they are. And it's likely going to be the same thing again this year, so we'll get into that. I don't have a whole lot on Derby yet, and I probably won't. I'm not a big horse racing guy, but I did find an interesting breakdown of the last 30 Kentucky Derby winners. Like, what's the profile on average? So we can maybe get into that. So a lot to get to here. So stick around. And if you have any suggestions on how to remove the stench of rotten, spoiled milk out of a vehicle, would love to hear it, because I'm not kidding. I may just abandon this vehicle. I just got it like a year ago, but that's how bad it smells. My son's bottle leaked in the car, opened up the door this morning, almost passed out. That's how bad it is. So please keep me in your thoughts. I know you guys are really sad for me, but it's a sad situation. It really is. Bang, bang, bang.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
Let's go to the LNN Federal Credit Union text line, shall we? Again, 502-653-0790. That is the number. Questions, complaints, compliments, insults, whatever you've got, you can send them in. This text says, Nick, to remove bad odor from carpet, sprinkle coffee on carpet. Let it set, then vacuum up. The coffee grounds absorb the odor. You could be making that up, but I may try that just because that's how desperate I am to get rid of this awful smell. I have spoiled milk that spilled in my car overnight, and there's all kinds of people that have been in my situation that have done the same thing, seemingly searched and found awful results. That says, yeah, when it comes to things that linger and really stink and it takes a while to get rid of, milk is one of them. But this person on the text line, they did recently recommend to me who I should use to get my tree taken out of my backyard that fell over during the storms a couple of weeks ago. And I used that service and they were great. So maybe I can trust this person on the text line. All right, this text says, I'm as high on Kenny Payne as anyone, but I'm a little surprised we haven't gotten many bites from the portal. Just expected there to be more interest given all the minutes we have to give to guards. All right, I'm glad you said that. So towards the end of yesterday's show, I don't even really remember how it came up, but we were talking about how there were all these excuses, and they were legitimate. Like Chris Mack, we don't need to even revisit the Chris Mack era because it's over, and Kenny Payne's here, and that's that. But Chris Mack did have excuses. As far, like, he wasn't in a normal situation. And now that Kenny's here, we never hear any excuses about, well, I hope they can get this guy, but let's be real. The NCAA situation is not helping them. It's hurting them. It's making it harder. Well, I said that yesterday because it's true. I don't hear anybody bring that up. Well, somebody reached out to me, and that happens every now and then. They're like, hey, you should know this is hurting us. Apparently, Sean McNeil, the kid who transferred to Ohio State, he picked Ohio State on Sunday while on a visit, was supposed to visit this upcoming weekend to visit Louisville, and of course they never got the visit because he committed to Chris Holtmann up in Columbus. Apparently he was really, really into the thought of playing for Louisville. He's from Kentucky. Again, Louisville's got a ton of minutes to give this guy. He'd be walking into a prime spot. But he didn't like the thought that Louisville, you know, from what I was told, he really just couldn't commit to Louisville knowing they may in fact not be able to play in the tournament. He is someone that wants to play in the tournament. So not to already start making excuses for the new regime, but it's true. It's true. And I don't think Kenny and those guys are going to make any excuses. They're not going to bring it up when it comes to recruiting. That's just not who they are from what I can tell. They're not going to give you excuses, but that is a factor. If you are if you're a Brandon Huntley Hadfield who has a lot of time left in college, right? I mean, I guess he could go pro after this year if he has a really big year. But now guys are always looking to potentially stay longer because they can make money through NIL. So there's not this desperation to get out of here, unless of course you're like a lottery pick or something, and or a first rounder. And I don't think Brandon Huntley Hatfield will be that after next year. So he could probably look at it and say, yeah, you know what, I might miss the tournament in my first season there, but I've got a few other years to play, or you know, a couple of years to play, 1 year maybe after that. It's still the right decision for me long term. But if you are like a grad transfer, or just somebody that you know you're going to play one more year, and then it's off to the pros, Louisville would not be – I mean, I can see why Louisville wouldn't be at the top of your list given their situation. You know, I don't know if they're going to get a postseason ban or not. I thought about it yesterday when somebody reached out to me and said, hey, just so you know, with recruiting, like high school kids, it's not hurting as much. They're not hearing about it as much because right now, if they get a postseason ban for the upcoming season, there's nobody in – I mean, the 2023 class, 2024 class and on, those guys wouldn't be impacted by that because by the time they get there, Louisville would have already had their postseason ban. But transfers, it is something that comes up, and it's a factor. So just keep that in mind. What I'm hoping, though, is that this Tyrese Hunter kid, the transfer from Iowa State, I'm hopeful that he is willing to say, you know what, maybe for 1 year I'll have to miss the tournament, but I've got 3 more years of eligibility left. Louisville, a great spot for NIL opportunities for me. Because I could be wrong, but I don't think this guy necessarily looks like a future NBA point guard, but he's a damn good college guard, and I would love to see him here at U of L. And if you guys are just now joining us, he was one of the best guards that entered the portal a couple weeks ago, and yesterday he has given us an updated list, and that includes Louisville, the other schools, Gonzaga, Kansas, Purdue, Tennessee, and Texas. So a lot of competition there, and it's not surprising. He was the Big 12 Freshman of the Year, really makes an impact on both ends of the floor. Yeah, he started all 35 games, set a school record for most starts by a freshman, averaged 11 points, and was third in the Big 12, dishing out 5 assists per game. So he also has the freshman record for assists in a season by an Iowa State player. And he was also 5th in steals and 6th in assists all time among Big 12 freshmen. So it's a guy that gets it done on both ends of the floor. And if Louisville can land him, he changes how we talk about this team. Now, he's far from the last piece you have because you've got 5 scholarships to give out. But he would be a difference maker. There's no doubt about it. And I guess we'll see in the next few days if he's lining up visits. And here's to hoping Louisville can get one from him. Because, again, they have more. I don't know the specific situation at Gonzaga, Kansas, Purdue, Tennessee, and Texas. But Louisville has one guard on their team. Who can offer more minutes than Louisville can? And also, again, you know, Louisville has, I mean, we've not had a good last few years with Louisville basketball, let's be real. There were very few fans in attendance last year, and you missed the tournament the last 2 years. I mean, it's just been rough, but I think soon we're going to get back to saying things like, hey, it's Louisville. Like, we should be able to compete with really anybody for players here and there. Obviously, you're going to lose some when you're going up against elite programs, but as much as Gonzaga, Kansas, the defending champion, I mean, hell, all those teams I just mentioned are probably expected to be top 25 teams preseason next year. Louisville's not. So they're the outlier. But again, they've got an opportunity to sell. This is, you can run the show for us, man. It will be, I don't want to say it's going to be your team, but we're going to hand you the keys, and you got to run the show because right now we've got nothing but front court players and a couple wings. So he wouldn't be the only piece you need to add to where you can really start to talk expectation, but he'd be I would imagine if you get him, he'll be the best guy you bring in the offseason, and it's not close. Unless, of course, new names emerge from the portal, and we have until, what, Sunday for that to happen? All right, you are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thorns here on 790 KRD. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. My name's Nick Coffey, the marvelous Matt Allen alongside today. All right, so This sound I'm going to share with you guys, this was actually before the Nets got swept last night. And I'm a fan of Stephen A. Smith more than anything because I just think he's a funny character. I don't take his analysis too serious. So sometimes when I find myself really enjoying Stephen A. Smith, it's not because he made some great point. It's because he's going full Stephen A. Smith, and I think that's kind of funny. This was Stephen A. Smith being himself in Stephen A. Smith fashion, but also I thought he was just like he put Ben Simmons in a body bag like I've never heard before.
I feel bad for anybody who was his teammate. He quit on LSU, he quit on the Philadelphia 76ers, and now he ain't showing up for the Brooklyn Nets. We can point to all the excuses, all the rationale behind it that we want to. I do recall, despite him not playing, he still filed a grievance to collect $20 million that he has not earned. This is one of the most pathetic situations that I've ever seen in my life. He ain't going to war. He ain't going in the octagon. He's not going in a boxing ring. It's pulling teeth to get this man to play basketball. It's pathetic. It's sad, and at the end of the day, when the NBA gets in the collective bargaining table and they go after the players in terms of a pay-for-play stipulation in the collective bargaining agreement, it's going to be called the Ben Simmons rule.
He wasn't done.
Notice I said Kyrie Irving is one of the most selfish superstars we've ever seen, and obviously one of the most selfish athletes we've ever seen. I didn't say the word the as a number one, because obviously he ain't got nothing on Ben Simmons. Nobody is worse than Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons might also be the weakest, most pathetic excuse for a professional athlete we have ever seen.
I mean, that's personal. I mean, is anything coming to mind for you guys? Matt, help me out if you could think of anything. I can't think of a four-letter network, national talking head, say something as personal as this.
Ben Simmons might also be the weakest, most pathetic excuse for a professional athlete we have ever seen.
I mean, that's personal. And I don't think he's wrong. This one about Kyrie just made me laugh.
When Russia bombed Ukraine, I thought Kyrie Irving wasn't going to show up to work. I literally sat there and was like, is this man going to skip work?
Matt, are you pro, anti, or whatever about Stephen A? I feel like you're whatever. Take him really.
I like him. I mean, I don't make a point to watch him, but I like
Same
him.
Here.
He's fine.
Man, I think, I don't know why it took him so long to realize they should do this, but Chris Mad Dog Russo and Stephen A. Smith, I mean, they just yell a lot. So if that's something you were annoyed by, you probably wouldn't enjoy it. You wouldn't want to watch. But he is, I think, a twice weekly guest on what's the show called? First Take, right? I think that's the show on ESPN, right? That Stephen A. and Skip used to do. And
yes,
then Max
that's
did it.
Correct.
Yeah. So now
yes.
Stephen A.'s there by himself and they just rotate different guys in, and Mad Dog's one of them and he's great. JJ Redick's really good on there too. So yeah, I know a lot of you don't like Stephen A., but I think he's great. And I think he literally that was a combination of Stephen A. being Stephen A., but also I think just making some really, really good points. And again, I would love for you guys to help me out here. If you can think of a time where any analyst of any sport said something this personal about a professional athlete.
Ben Simmons might also be the weakest, most pathetic excuse for a professional athlete we have ever seen.
I mean, those are fighting words. All right, we'll get back to the text line coming up on the other side, including one that just came in about this rumor that Kentucky football may soon be selling, well, I guess UK, not the football program, but UK may soon be selling alcohol at games at Kroger Field.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
All right, so we had somebody earlier ask on the text line, is it true that the rumor that Kentucky is going to start selling beer at football games this season at Kroger Field, is it true? Which I find it funny you would think I would know if that's true or not. But I have heard the buzz about it, and I suppose it's because they had a big concert, which I'm not sure why U of L doesn't have more concerts at Cardinal Stadium. I know they've had a few, and they always seem to be big money makers. But there was Chris Stapleton, Willie Nelson, and I think Sheryl Crow, which that's a hell of a trio there. They played in Lexington on Saturday, and at the concert at Kroger Field, the Commonwealth Stadium, they did sell beer, and there were some people saying that was essentially like a trial run for UK football because UK football did put on the concert. Or I guess the university did, not necessarily the football program, but maybe they could see how much money could potentially be made, and that would then sway the decision for Mitch Barnhart to go from non-alcohol to allowing alcohol sales. I have no clue if any of that's true or not, but I mean, if people want to be drunk in your stadium, they're going to be drunk in your stadium. You might as well make money from it. And this sounds like something a bunch of drunks would say to defend themselves. But I know there have been studies before that show that if you allow the sale of beer and maybe like wine or something or seltzers or whatever it is, like you actually will have less you'll have less people that are like hammered, like completely intoxicated because – I mean, I went to one UK football game as this was back when I was like 20 years old. My friends went to UK. They played Mississippi State, and I was in Lexington for the weekend, and I ended up going to the game. And I mean, it was everybody, the student section where I was, everybody was completely hammered. That may just be because it's college kids. But even when you go to the restroom there, like there's empty bottles of whiskey that people sneak in. Like they're chugging hard liquor, taking shots to try to get a buzz going. And if they could just go buy a few beers throughout a four-hour game, be a much different situation. So they're going to do it anyways. You might as well make money from it, and you can make money from it. If you're Mitch Barnhart, and I know he's very strong in his beliefs and faith, and he thinks, and I'm trying to find the actual quote from him whenever he decided, because if it was a few years ago when the SEC said, look, we're not going to have the ban anymore around the whole league. We're going to let these schools decide what they want to do. Do they want to sell alcohol or not? It's their choice. And I would be willing to bet you couldn't find a school that in recent years, especially in the SEC, that has decided to allow alcohol sales and said it was a bad move. It enhances the experience. It can make you money. I don't know how much money you can actually make, but clearly you can make some money. I mean, hell, am I wrong to think whatever it is you have to pay, like UK athletic departments like UK are they're made of money. But my point is, like, whatever you have to pay all those bums Mark Stoops schedules to come in and play because he has a lousy non-conference schedule every year, whatever the price tag is on bringing in Eastern Michigan to Kroger Field, you could the money you make in beer would pay them to come six times, I feel like. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but clearly you can make some money. And also, I will give Kentucky fans credit because they for big games, and especially the last couple of years, last year really, because they were good last year. Like, they were a good team last year. They had great crowds for their big games, and that, you know, that's a testament that when their team's good, their fans show up. There's no doubt about that. But, like, it could also, in a situation, if you have a lousy year, or if you have a, I'll put it this way. Let's say they've got, I don't know, Murray State or whoever they play from the FCS, New Mexico State, whoever it is. And maybe this is me because I am a casual social drinker. It's far from casual. I drink often and I'm responsible. But, you know, if I'm going to a game with a ticket and I'm getting beer, I ain't drinking one or two. I put it that way. But my point is, if you're playing a non-starter opponent that nobody cares about, you will have more people inclined to show up to that game if they can buy beer, if they can socialize and, you know, and casually drink among friends. If they can't, then they may decide, you know what, I'm just going to go to the sports bar and have lunch and drink beers and watch the game and then watch other games. So we've never needed in sports right now to offer more to fans when it comes to the overall experience at a game. Especially in college. The NFL, I think, does a good job of it. But in college, we've said this for years, it's never been more convenient than it is now to watch a game at home. Well, that means, of course, you need to do more and more things to entice your fans to actually show up rather than watch it on TV. And selling beer will have more people willing to come to Commonwealth Stadium. So I don't know what they're going to do. I know Mitch Barnhart has been very consistently against it, but maybe he saw how much money they could make with the Willie Nelson. I mean, now, we'll say this. The people going to that concert, Willie Nelson, Chris Stapleton, and Sheryl Crow, they probably are a little bit more of a party crowd than those that would, you know, be at a football game. But still, you can make money. There's no doubt about that. And I'm curious, what was the lineup? Who played first? Sheryl Crow, Willie Nelson, Chris Stapleton. I think it was like a Chris Stapleton concert. I think it's his tour. So he probably was the headliner, I would imagine. And he's currently got the most buzz. He's a Kentucky native, and of course, he's active right now in the music scene. Whereas Willie Nelson, I don't know, does Willie Nelson still record music? Sheryl Crow, does she still record music? And those are three super celebrities when it comes to music. My guess is that it was Sheryl Crow first, then Willie Nelson, then Chris Stapleton. But I could be wrong. All right, we got two more hours to go. Stick around. We'll get back to the text line coming up here on the other side. 502-653-0790 is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. Again, you are in the Red Zone. Fueled by Thorns here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. We'll be right back.
That's right. It's hour number two here in the Red Zone on 790 KRD. Take us with you wherever you go with the iHeartRadio app. You can also listen live at 790KRD.com. And we are fueled by Thornton. Stop in this morning, get yourself some breakfast, fill up the gas tank, and make sure you are a Refreshing Rewards member. Go to RefreshingRewards.com or download the app. Save money on fuel. Take advantage of all their different sweepstakes they've got going on. I don't know what the next one is, but it's going to be big because it always is. They just gave away a brand new Chevy Silverado. Last summer they gave 200 winners free fuel for a year. So no excuse. Sign up today if you haven't already. All right, so I did go outside and check the vehicle. Getting better. Didn't smell as bad as it did on the ride in. So for those who missed it, my son threw his bottle in the back of the car yesterday. You know, he's in his seat, and you know, he sometimes gets a little grumpy and doesn't like, he's at the age now where he hates car rides. So he threw his bottle down and it rolled underneath the passenger seat, and I didn't realize it. So I got him out of the car, didn't see his bottle, didn't think anything of it, and then I went outside this morning in my garage and opened up my car door, and it just hit me. I almost passed out. Some of that milk had leaked onto the floor of my vehicle, and it smells like rotten milk. It's awful. It smells terrible, and I've been asking for advice on how to get rid of that kind of smell. So this morning I drove in with the windows up because, of course, it was – actually kind of cold outside, but I left the windows down, and I went out there during the break, and it doesn't smell as bad as I remember, which is good. But yes, when I first got in the car to leave to come to work this morning, I thought, okay, this is it. I had this vehicle for a year. I love my Volkswagen Atlas, probably my favorite vehicle that I've owned, but it's done. I'm probably gonna have to get rid of it. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to give it away with this bad smell. So it's improving. I sprayed it down with this it's like odor remover that's for carpets. Hopefully that works. But anyways, I know you guys are super concerned about the smell of my car, so I just wanted to give you guys a quick update. All right, for those just now joining us, I'll give you guys an update on where we've been today. The transfer portal, it's going to be a big week for the portal because this is the last week. You've got until Sunday to enter your name and maintain your eligibility maintain immediate eligibility. Part of me says that, in fact, I think I saw Jeff Goodman put it out there yesterday, that those that enter the portal after May 1st can still apply for a waiver, and it looks like the NCAA is just going to be giving waivers to everybody these days, which is fine by me, but I would say maybe there are some other circumstances where, I don't know, a coach gets fired or something happens, so maybe you will see other guys enter the portal after May 1st, and maybe they can be eligible, but right now, these college basketball players are operating under the rule that is they got until Sunday to put their name in the portal. And yesterday, a couple of new names emerged. I mean, I wondered, has it kind of come to an end? Has everybody that's going to enter already entered? And that's not the case. I wouldn't be shocked if we have more names that entered today, tomorrow, and until Sunday. But the name we've talked about previously, and especially this morning, is Tyrese Hunter, a point guard from Iowa State, who put his name in the portal, I think it was 2 weeks ago. And the obvious reaction from everybody was, uh-oh, this guy's really good. Whoever gets him is getting a game changer. And, of course, given Louisville's need for guards, I hoped Louisville would get involved. And sure enough, they did, and they are a finalist. So Tyrese Hunter yesterday tweeted out that Louisville, Gonzaga, Kansas, Purdue, Tennessee, and Texas are the schools he's considering. And I don't know what the next step is, probably scheduling visits, and I hope Louisville can get him on a visit because this is a guy that is exactly what you need. And he's a good enough player to where he will change how you talk about Louisville's expectations in year one. You need more than just him because, again, you've got five scholarships to fill, but he is an elite point guard. We talked about Iowa State a lot during the tournament because they went from two wins in 2021 to making the Sweet 16 a year later. And the guy running the show for that team that made the biggest improvement maybe in college basketball history is Tyrese Hunter. He broke all the records at Iowa State for freshmen, assists, steals, that kind of stuff. Was the Big 12 Freshman of the Year. Averaged 11 points, 5 assists a game. So you can sell him. And again, I don't know the exact situation with Kansas and Purdue and these other schools because I don't know what their roster looks like for next season. But I can't imagine that they have more minutes and more of a role to sell this kid than Louisville does. Louisville has one guard. And I said this earlier, I'll say it again. I love L. Ellis. I think he's going to be a really good player here when it's all said and done. He was one of the very few bright spots this past year. But he's a combo guard. I don't know why it sounds like he really wants to prove to people he's a point guard. He can play point. There's no doubt about that. It's not to say that he is incapable of being a point guard, but if you put L. Ellis as a point guard and just have him be a facilitator, you're not getting the most out of L. Ellis because he is a gifted scorer as well. He's a combo guard. That's not an insult. It doesn't mean you lack the ability to play the true point. It's just if you've got Tyrese Hunter and L. Ellis on the floor, Tyrese Hunter's running the show. And L. Ellis is a guy that's a creator and a scorer. And again, he can do things a point guard can do, and he can certainly play point guard if you need him to. But Tyrese Hunter, you will be handing the keys to him to run the team if he decides to come here. And he's already been a part of one massive rebuild. In his first season at Iowa State, they make a humongous improvement. Maybe he wants to do the same here at Louisville. But I did go back and forth with somebody here on the text line who made a good point. This text says, let's see. He says, if he started 35 games at Iowa State, then he's not transferring to find more minutes. And that's true. That's his team, right? He's a made man in Ames, Iowa. But it's Ames, Iowa. It's Iowa State. So you're right. But any good player leaving Iowa State is not surprising because it's Iowa State. That's no knock on them. They made a farther run in the tournament than Louisville did last year. I mean, I'm not throwing shade. It's just, let's be real. Iowa State, to me, and I think we talked about this when he first entered the portal, Iowa State's the kind of school that I think is really going to be hurt more so than helped by the portal because their good players there will leave. Now, they'll be all right. They were good last year, and they used the portal to go get players from the mid-major ranks. But Iowa State is the caliber program that will lose their really good players that end up being better than they were expected out of high school because it's Iowa State. There's other programs like it. But that's just what's going to happen with the portal being what it is now. So, you know, as I look at these other schools that he's considering, I mean, the obvious observation is all of these other schools can tell him, yeah, we're going to be really good next year. And Louisville, they can't really say that just yet. I'm sure Kenny Payne's going to speak confidently about the direction of the program, and there's a lot to be optimistic about as far as the pieces you have right now, but clearly there's a lot of work to be done in finalizing the roster. But yeah, these other schools, every one of them. You've got Kansas, the defending national champs, Purdue, Gonzaga, Tennessee, and Texas. All of them can sell Tyrese Hunter. Yeah, you want to be a part of a special season, we're likely going to be preseason top 15, top 20. I mean, hell, Kansas is the defending champs. And apparently Kansas is believed to be the school that feels like they're going to get him. So I don't want to set Kenny Payne up for failure because it will be hard to get this kid. Louisville can't even sell. Like Louisville, one, they can't really sell how good they're going to be yet because they have so many pieces to fill. But they can't even sell this kid for sure that if they're good enough, they would play in the tournament because of the postseason ban. And that is something we also discussed if you guys are just now joining us. You know, we were talking about that yesterday. Somebody brought up all the excuses you used to hear when it comes to Chris Mack's inability to get players. And it was a legitimate excuse. We probably gave him too much of a pass at times because he brought in players that simply weren't good enough to play here. But somebody reached out to me yesterday. It was nice to hear from. They were like, hey, I heard you saying what you're saying, but just know in high school recruiting, it's not hurting us as much as people might expect. But with transfers, yeah, they want to play in the tournament. And apparently Sean McNeil, the kid who transferred from West Virginia and committed to Ohio State over the weekend, apparently he liked Louisville a lot. Again, he would be walking into a key role at U of L. He's from the state of Kentucky, knows how big of a program Louisville is, but he wants to play in the tournament. And Louisville doesn't know for sure if they're going to be able to play in the tournament or if they're going to be good enough. So that is something to keep in mind. I don't want to be the guy that's already making excuses for Kenny Payne, but there are excuses. Like that, it can be both things, right? It can be, hey, we still need to expect Kenny Payne to bring in talent because that's literally the biggest part of his resume that stood out when he was hired. But at the same point in time, he's not operating under normal circumstances just yet. And I don't know if they're going to get a postseason ban. Certainly the way the IARP handled NC State made me feel better about Louisville's situation. But I've also tried my hardest to tell myself, hey, don't get your hopes up. You should probably just expect that you lose a postseason. And if that's the case, it'll be this upcoming season. And you could see why a transfer Especially a transfer who you know only has one more year. Like Sean McNeil has 1 year of college left. In fact, I think he's using his extra COVID year to play another season. So Brandon Huntley Hadfield, he's probably here for a longer amount of time to where it's not as big of a deal to him. But if you've got guy that if you've got a guy that plans on being in college for only one more season, Louisville is up against it, if you will. I mean, they're not they can't necessarily sell what other schools can. But, man, this guy would be a game changer, and I hope they can get him on campus for a visit. And I don't think Tyrese Hunter is a guy that I could be wrong. I watched some of his highlights last night. I could be wrong, but to me he doesn't look like an NBA point guard. Maybe I'm way off. But if he plans on being in college for a while, you know, maybe he'd be willing to say, yeah, I'll go 1 year at Louisville with no tournament, and then in hopes that once we get through that, we'll be a much better team and I can be the point guard for a really good team in Kenny Payne's second year and maybe make a lot of money through NIL. I mean, I'm trying to think of the best sales pitch to give this young man, but let's be real. The other schools that you're competing against, they've got a lot to offer as well. All right, 502-653-0790 is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. We'd love to hear from you. A lot of texts coming in. We mentioned earlier the rumor out there that Kentucky football may in fact start selling beer at games, which, I mean, I hope they do. I don't really care, but you should be able to buy beer at a football game. And Kentucky, I mean, I'm sure I could find this if I did a little digging. I'm curious, how many Power Five schools don't allow alcohol sales right now? Because years ago, Louisville was one of the rare schools that did it. In fact, that's the text that comes in here. It says, I didn't realize U of L was initially one of the only colleges selling alcohol at games. Hell, I think many fans wouldn't buy tickets if they couldn't buy booze. I don't know if that's true, and I don't want to paint our fan base as a bunch of drunks that only enjoy watching U of L sports when they can buy booze. But it's part of who we are. I know this fan base. It's a huge part of it. Like if all of a sudden you just couldn't buy beer at the Yum Center or at Cardinal Stadium anymore, fans would lose their minds, right? And understandably so. It's been a part of, I mean, again, if you're somebody that's, you know, I'm 33 years old. I know beer has been available for sale at Louisville football games since I've been going to games. But, it's a part of us. And again, that's not to say that everybody that goes gets hammered. Because, look, they have certain sections at Cardinal Stadium where you can't have alcohol. And that's needed. That's fine. I totally think that's, you know, you have the option. If you are somebody that doesn't like being around people that are drinking and you don't drink, you can buy tickets in a section where there will be no alcohol. But, you know, the people that want to do it, they can do it, and that's the right way to go. So, again, I think if you're a Louisville fan, I feel like you know what I mean. We're not all a bunch of drunks that only enjoy the games because we get hammered, but it's kind of part of who we are. We like to party. All right, this text says, when do you think they'll announce the third assistant coach? What's the holdup? Yeah, I don't know when they're going to do that. In fact, the guy we talked about last week, the director of basketball operations, Justin Perez, that's happening. That just hasn't been announced yet, and I don't know why. Maybe they want to announce the final assistant coach and the director of operations at the same time. I'm not sure. And I don't know who it's going to be. I mean, Milt Wagner is still the name that everybody's talking about because of the obvious connection that he has to the program and, of course, his grandson being the number one player in America. So it may still be him. Wouldn't shock me. But there's a part of me that says if it was going to be Milt Wagner, they would have already announced it. Like, it would have already happened. Because I don't know what the holdup would be. And look, there's probably more that goes into this process of hiring somebody at the University of Louisville than I would ever know. So maybe that's why there's potentially a holdup. Or maybe Kenny Payne is still trying to figure out who, in fact, he wants to be that third staff member. Now, speaking of that, apparently Calipari could be looking for a new assistant coach. Bruiser Flint, his assistant, I think for the last few years, he is interviewing for the Fordham job. And I'd be really curious to see who Calipari would go hire if he had an open spot on his bench. I did love yesterday some of the Kentucky fans freaking out because I don't even know where it started or where the rumor – I don't even know if it was a rumor, to be honest with you. But there was at least a conversation on social media, and I know it came up on KSR with Matt and his crew, that Brad Calipari – like what? And I don't think Matt put the rumor out there. I think he just asked the question, like, what if he hired Brad Calipari? And that would be the ultimate, like – I mean, again, that's not happening. Apparently, Kyle Tucker's come out and said Brad Calipari is already going to be working elsewhere next year on a different staff. So, but just if he did hire his son, who's like 22 years old, and, I mean, would not be qualified in any way to be an assistant coach at the University of Kentucky. If Calipari did that, I may go, Matt, I may go ahead and play the sound. I may go full turn and just be all in and become a Big Cal guy. Because that would be like the ultimate, like, yeah, you guys want any more proof that I'm just stealing money from you guys? Thanks for that lifetime contract, Mitch. Because that would be the ultimate sign of I don't care. I'm just trolling you guys now, which that's not, I mean, let's be real. That's not the case. I think Cal is as, I mean, I think he's as hungry as ever. And we'll see if he can actually dig himself out of this hole that he's dug himself in the last couple of seasons. I mean, they did have a great regular season, but they lost to a 15 seed and they didn't make the tournament the year before. So pressure is clearly on, and I think he knows that. But there's some Kentucky fans that think once he got the lifetime contract, he just stopped trying. And I don't know if they just say that out of anger, out of frustration, because that's not, I mean, you don't really believe that, do you? Because I'm thinking to myself, if that was the case, he would just move on. But maybe not, because why would he? He's going to make a ton of money. Just ride it out. You're making $9 million a year. I do love when Cal sometimes seems to troll his own fan base. I think that makes me like him. But who he would hire, I have no clue. I mean, he brought back Orlando Antigua. He's got Chin Coleman and, well, actually, let me think. With Chin Coleman, Jai Lucas, and Orlando Antigua, Bruiser Flynn is not even an assistant coach, is he? I'm pretty sure he's probably like the director of operations. Be curious to see what kind of move Calipari would make. And look, we have I don't know what Justin Perez is going to do for Louisville in that role, because the DOBO is a different role depending on where you're coaching. Some coaches have the director of operations do certain things, and then another coach may have them do other things. It just really depends on how the staff is constructed and what the head coach wants. But the move that Kenny Payne made to bring in Justin Perez, who is in fact affiliated and he's a part of the family of Roc Nation, Jay-Z's agency, like that's, again, I'm not going to sell you that this means, oh, look out, all the NIL deals are coming through Louisville and Roc Nation. I have no clue what the actual benefit's going to be, but to me it is a statement. It's a statement that we are shifting to become the players first cool school. And again, there's no results to show that that's going to be, that that's happened just yet. But like even Kentucky fans were saying, like that's a move Calipari would have made years ago. Yeah, apparently Bruiser Flint is the assistant to the head coach. Whatever that means. Who was on Kentucky's? Because Calipari has lost coaches to head coaching jobs, and most of them have been failures. Here's to hoping Kenny Payne turns out much differently. But like Slice, remember they had a coach named Slice? Whatever happened to him? Maybe they bring him back, get the band fully back together. Who else was on staff for Kentucky early on? Rod Strickland? Whatever happened to that guy? There's one more. Oh, John Robick. Guy who had the really, really feathery blonde hair. Anyways, we'll move on. 502-653-0790 is the number if you guys would like to text in. We'll get back to the text line coming up here on the other side. Also, what I want to talk about is there's already the conversation's already picking up more steam, and that is that Donovan Mitchell deserves better than Utah. We got to get Donovan out of Salt Lake City because the Jazz are a joke. And I get why people are saying that, but I don't, you know, I'm not blaming Donovan for the Jazz's struggles. They're now down 3-2 and likely going to lose this series to Dallas. They could still win it, but I don't like their chances right now. So I'm not blaming Donovan, but Utah has a good roster. Like better than most. Like if you look at teams you could plug Donovan into, there aren't many teams that he could realistically go to that would be a better fit right now for him. So we'll get into that a little bit. Also, we can continue our conversation that we talked a little bit about yesterday, which as expected, it did get a lot of reaction. And that's the comments from Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick, who says it's inevitable that in the 2030s, there will likely be a shift away, like where the Division I ranks split up and the Power Six, they continue to operate like pro franchises, and the other schools of the smaller level, the mid-major, the lower level D1 schools, they essentially become college athletics. So a lot more to come, so don't go anywhere. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thorns. Don't forget, we've got headlines coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, and we also have a chance for you to win $1,000 in the 9 o'clock hour. So stick around.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union tax line at 502-653-0790.
You guys are coming through for me on the text line today. I appreciate that. And also thank you to Ray, who emailed this in. It's a breakdown, and I will stand corrected. It's a breakdown of Power 5 schools and their alcohol policy at football games. And where I was wrong is there are more schools that don't sell alcohol than I realized. I think more sell it than don't still. And the way they break this down, it just gives each school's policy. It doesn't actually have a number unless it's at the bottom of this article and I can't find it. But and this hasn't been updated in a couple of years. But there are a lot of and this is lame, but there are a lot of schools that I'm looking at here that lets you buy alcohol if you're in, like, club-level seating and, like, suites and premium stuff. And that's just, to me, that's lame. It's like only the rich people we trust to drink. You plebs that get general admission tickets know we don't trust that you can have booze. Clemson doesn't sell alcohol at football games, but they have a section? This is wild. Yeah, it says alcohol is not sold in Clemson Stadium, but fans who buy premium tickets are allowed to bring their own drinks to enjoy in private seating areas. Duke doesn't have any alcohol sales at any other sporting events. Florida State does at baseball and basketball because their stadium is not on campus. They have a so it still seems as if the majority, in fact, I think it's still the vast majority that are selling alcohol in some way. But I just assumed Kentucky was like one of very few that didn't allow it. But I was wrong. They're one of at least more than I thought. Like Iowa, they still don't allow beer to be sold. And the only reason has to be because you think your fans are going to act like idiots, right? Like it's a moneymaker. People can drink if they want to anyway. It's got to be the only reason. You know, other than, I mean, what am I missing? What would be the reason you wouldn't sell alcohol other than just assuming that people wouldn't know how to behave and it would ruin the experience for other people? And look, that I think that's understandable. I don't agree because you can go to games across the country and pick the stadiums that don't allow alcohol sales and you will find drunk people that are making the experience not as good for others. So it's already happening. You might as well allow it, make some money, and then who knows? Maybe you learned that this was the right way to go because people can just go drink beer responsibly and they're not, you know, pounding. What was the what's the cinnamon whiskey that I'm sure is still around? But man, I haven't taken shots of whiskey in a long time. Rick doesn't even do that anymore. What was the real pop when I was in my college years, around 20 to 23? Fireball whiskey. I'm sure it still exists, but I haven't had any or smelled it in a long time. But that was when I went to a UK game years ago. I was like 20 years old. The entire floor, it seemed, of the bathroom, they had the troughs at Commonwealth Stadium that you peed in, and then like the floor, you're stepping on these little mini bottles of Fireball whiskey because people want to get drunk at a game. Well, I shouldn't say they want to get drunk. I'm sure some people do, but they want to have a buzz. And they can't go buy beer, so they just chug whiskey and sometimes probably act like fools. And they wouldn't act like fools if they had, you know, three tall Bud Lights over a four-hour game. So if you're wondering why we're talking about this, it's because there's a rumor that Kentucky may start allowing beer to be sold at football games this year, which it's about time, but we'll see. Mitch Barnhart's been pretty consistent that he doesn't want to do that. All right, so something else that came in on the text line, which I assume they're making a joke. They did throw out the LOL, which I assume all of you know means laugh out loud. But we were talking about Bruiser Flint potentially leaving Kentucky to go to be the Fordham head coach. And we also talked about Kenny Payne's final spot on his staff. And this text says John Calipari is going to hire Milt Wagner, isn't he? Which surely he wouldn't, right? But what if he did? In fact, somebody mentioned this to me yesterday, and I It's almost like one of those things that seems so far-fetched, like I can't tell if you're being serious, but maybe this could happen. What if John Calipari hired DeJuan Wagner? I mean, I'm curious, if you're a Kentucky fan, would you be all right with DeJuan Wagner, who to my knowledge has no experience as a coach? I could be wrong. Maybe he coaches. Maybe he coaches his son's team. I don't know. I know Purvis Ellison is like the director of the AAU club that DJ Wagner plays for, the New Jersey Scholars. But would you be cool, if you're a Kentucky fan, if DeJuan Wagner got a job on Calipari's staff just so it would improve your chances with DJ? Would you be cool with it? Because Louisville fans seem cool with hiring Milt if it lands DJ. But Milt's at least been a part of college basketball staffs for over 14 years at three different schools. Surely he wouldn't do that, would he? But hey, we're talking about the number one player in America, and this is going to be heated. I had a Kentucky fan say something to me the other day that really, I hadn't thought about it from their perspective. But if this does play out, I think it'll be good for everybody. I think Cal is bored with the rivalry, and he honestly should be. He's dominated this rivalry. Now, Louisville did win the last time they played, and that's great to keep saying. And if you are a Louisville fan and you want to keep making fun of them for losing to St. Peter's, knock yourself out. I get it. When you've got chances to take shots and you've got ammunition in the chamber, use it, because more often than not, in recent years, they've had bragging rights. And Calipari still does overall, because if there's one thing he's done pretty good at Kentucky, it's beat his rival. And we hate to see it, but it's the truth. So I think it was personal with Pitino. He clearly wanted to beat Rick badly, and he did, for the most part. Now, Rick did get the last win when they played the last time he was here, but obviously Cal got the edge and had better teams. And look, Louisville had good teams during those years, but it just happened to be when Calipari was in his heyday, and we'll never get, and I mean, even if he does win another title, I don't think we'll ever see the run that he had there in his first 4 to 5 years. But nonetheless, I don't even know if Cal cared about playing Chris Mack, to be honest with you. Like, there was no real animosity there. In fact, I think you guys know this, but Chris Mack liked John Calipari. Like, he respected the hell out of him. It wasn't as if, like, he had animosity towards him. It was the rival. He knew how much it meant to the fans. They wanted to beat him badly. But, like, there wasn't real animosity. And right now, there's not going to be with Kenny Payne, because Kenny Payne and Calipari are like family. But if Kenny Payne, this is what a UK fan told me, he said, if Kenny Payne comes in and steals DJ Wagner, a guy that he thought he had for years, for a decade, since DJ was old enough to play basketball, if the kid was going to be good enough, you had to think Calipari loved his chances of getting this kid, because he coached his dad and is like a father to him. If Kenny Payne steps in year one and gets this kid, like, that could be what lights a fire under Cal, to where he comes out and maybe the rivalry is alive. And it won't ever be, I don't think, personal, to where there's true, genuine, like, hatred between the two like there was between Rick and Cal. But it could be really, really, really good for the rivalry if that. And again, it'd be good for Louisville, too, if they land the number one player in the country. All right, let's talk about Donovan Mitchell. So I knew we were going to have this conversation because, you know, Louisville fans, I'll give them credit, they defend their own like nothing I've ever seen before. Lamar Jackson, if there's anybody out there being critical, Louisville fans on social media, they're coming. The army is assembled, and they're going to try to take that person down. And it's kind of like that with Donovan. But Donovan really hadn't been under that much like heat from anybody, because he's been one of the best young players in the NBA for years now, and the Utah Jazz have become a real factor in the West because of him. But yet they've not made the Western Conference Finals just yet, and they're now about to lose in this first round against Dallas. They're down 3-2. I don't like their chances. Luka's back. He's healthy. He's doing his thing, and the Jazz are in trouble. Now, for what it's worth, the Jazz didn't even have a great regular season. They're the 5 seed, so therefore home court advantage was actually to Dallas. So they weren't technically, when you go off of seed lines, they weren't technically supposed to win this game. So last night, Louisville fans that I know and like are saying things like, we got to get Donovan out of Utah. And if that's just your opinion because you'd rather see him play elsewhere, me too. I'm with you. But Donovan has a good roster. He has good pieces and good talent around him. Now, there's certain areas where they need to be a little better. They don't have good perimeter defense. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's defense gets criticized a lot too. But he has, like, Donovan Mitchell, one, is not going anywhere in free agency because he's not a free agent. He would have to be traded. And I just don't think – I can't see a scenario unless a team was willing to give up like a bunch of first-round picks for the future. Like there's not a scenario where Donovan gets traded to a team and they have a better roster than Utah, because whoever trades for him is going to have to give up a lot to get him, because Donovan Mitchell is one of the best guards in the NBA. So, like, I'm not blaming him for them being down 3-2 and likely losing the series, but I also don't feel like, oh, man, this is just an awful situation we got to get him out of. Again, Utah, one of the lamest franchises to play for. No offense to the Jazz. They've got great home court advantage. Donovan seems to love it there. They've embraced him. But, like, it's Utah. It's Salt Lake City. But, like, if he goes to the Knicks, we talked about this last week, the Knicks roster is trash compared to the Jazz. I mean, Rudy Gobert, I'll give you this. This is where it gets a little tricky, because Rudy Gobert is a perennial all-star. Consistently, he's been an all-star for years now. Defensive player of the year on multiple occasions. So to say that Donovan has no help, it sounds off, because he's got another all-star on his team. But Rudy Gobert is not your typical all-star. Rudy Gobert is a one-dimensional player. He is such a non-factor offensively. The only points he gets are junk buckets or tip-ins. He's not a he has no offensive, I don't want to say skill, because he's in the NBA. He's clearly got some skill, but he does not have much of an offensive presence at all. He's a defensive stopper. So, yes, he does have another all-star, but it's not like it's not like they've got a 1-2 punch. So it's not the best roster, but again, Jordan Clarkson, one of the best bigs you'll see, or one of the best six men in the league. He won Sixth Man of the Year last year. Hassan Whiteside, a really good reserve. Mike Conley, getting a little older, and he's not maybe elite, but he's good enough. Bogdanović, one of the best shooters in the league. Liability on defense nonetheless, but I don't agree with most people that say Donovan's got to get out of Utah because, you know, it's just he's the only really good player with a bunch of bums. And I just don't see a scenario where he'd go elsewhere and he'd have a better roster to work with. I guess the scenario would in fact be if a franchise was willing to give up their immediate future and say, look, we don't want to give up. Like, if you're the Knicks, you don't want to give up Randall, because Randall could be the 1-2 punch, although he took a huge step back this past year. Who else is on the Knicks that's good? Manuel Quickley, I don't know how good he actually is. RJ Barrett, he actually had a good year this year as far as numbers. And Kemba Walker's still there, but man, he seems to have fallen off a cliff. But my point is, maybe the Knicks aren't a great example, but it would be a team that says, look, we're not going to give up one of our other big assets, because if we trade for Donovan, yeah, we might get a better player than who we gave up, but it's going to be Donovan with a poor roster. So what we're going to do is offer you basically our next four first-round picks. I'm not even sure if that's allowed or if anybody would do it, but I don't think that the Jazz, I mean, and also some would say maybe coaching's a problem. Well, I don't follow the NBA, you know, coaching carousel as closely as others, but the Jazz head coach, Quinn Snyder, he's believed to be one of the best coaches in the NBA. Now, they didn't have a great year this year. They took a little bit of a step back, and they're about to lose in the first round potentially. But, like, his name came up for the Lakers job when they fired Vogel. Like, that's what people think of him. So I don't think coaching is necessarily a problem. But here's to hoping that they rally and win this series and make a run, and then you don't hear about it as much. But I don't agree with most Louisville fans that Donovan is in just an awful situation and he's got to get out. I mean, if he does get out, I'd be all for it. But I think he actually has a pretty talented roster around him. All right, quick timeout. We'll wrap up the 8 o'clock hour here on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You are in the Red Zone. We are fueled by Thorntons right here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
All right, so Fox Sports Radio will have live draft coverage on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and we will have that for you right here on 790 KRD. I can't wait for the draft. I don't really know what to expect. In fact, I haven't followed it as much as I usually do. I feel like it's kind of a, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I don't feel like there's as much buzz about the prospects in this draft as there usually is. But nonetheless, I love a good draft. And I'd watch the Major League Baseball draft. I knew when it was, because I love drafts. But nonetheless, this is not surprising, but it's still crazy that I thought it would be worth sharing with you guys. This is from The Bear, who you guys see on College Game Day. He's like a stat guru. Alabama has had 38 players selected in the first round of the draft since 2010. That's the most. Not only have they had the most, they've had 19 more first-round draft picks than the school who's had the second most. Ohio State is second. So in addition, Alabama has had 59 players taken in the first two rounds in that span. That's 26 more than any other school. Think about that. Alabama is an NFL factory. I'm not breaking news here. You guys were probably well aware of that. But that should just put it in perspective how they turn out. So I mean, that's why you lose Tyler Harrell to Bama. It's Bama. They're going to put you in the league, most likely. I mean, Alabama's had guys, and I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I know there's been a few examples over the years, probably in this time span from 2010 on. There have been guys that didn't even really have a big role at Bama because there were four or five of those kind of guys, right? And then once they get to the pros, then they become stars because they're just playing at a loaded position. So in the last, I guess that makes it the last 11 years, Bama's had 59 players taken in the first two rounds. And again, that is 26 more than anybody else. So in the last 6 years, 618 players have been selected on days one and two of the draft. 82 of them have come from those two schools. 13.3% of the players taken on day one and day two in the last six drafts have played for either Alabama or Ohio State. Now, LSU, they are right behind that. Well, actually, they're not right behind it. They're in third place. So, again, day one and day two picks in the last 6 years, Bama's got 43. Ohio State has got 39. LSU is in third place with 25. Just crazy. Now, again, Bama's got the edge when it comes to overall first-round picks and, of course, picks taken in the first and second round. But Ohio State has had the most top 10 picks in the last 6 years. So there you go. A little draft. Again, I don't think that really surprises you to hear because, again, those two schools, especially Bama, have been so dominant in the last, you know, really since Nick Saban got there. So, again, it's probably not surprising, but it really puts in perspective just how many pros they turn out there in Tuscaloosa. All right, so we probably won't talk much horse racing leading up to the Derby because that's just not, you know, that's just not what we do. But I do have a really cool breakdown here that I wanted to share with you guys that basically gives you the profile of the last 30 Kentucky Derby winners. And this may help you make a wager. It may help you, I don't know, maybe you just find it interesting like I did. We'll get to this coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour because I don't have enough time to do it right now. But I do want to remind you once again, if you are and this is me today. I got all kinds of errands to run. I'm going to be tight on time. So today would be a good day for me if I wasn't on my strict diet to keep Thornton's in mind for lunch because Thornton's has delicious food. It's not just a place you go to because you can't go anywhere else. You should want to go there and get yourself a pizza wedge. It's delicious. They've got all kinds of options for food, and it's delicious. It's not your typical fast food / convenience store food. They've changed the stigma, in my opinion. And I know a lot of you have tried it and you agree. So keep them in mind. There's a bunch of them. And it's not only do you get delicious food, but it's like it's convenient as can be. I don't know. I don't think every location has this yet, but the Thornton's out in Middletown, I mean, you walk in there, that you got they got the self-checkout. You can walk in, scan it, pay. I mean, you could be in and out the door potentially in 90 seconds or less. So it truly is. Like, if you don't have much time at all for lunch, but you know you got to eat and you want something good, Thornton's is where you need to go. And they've also apparently, I need to, once I get done with this diet, I'm now 2 weeks in, but when I get done, I'm gonna try one of these burgers you guys are telling me about. I still have a hard time thinking I'd be able to turn down the pizza wedge and get something else, but a lot of you have reached out and said the burgers are really good. So I'm down, I think. I was down, then I fluctuated. I don't know what happened. I'm trying not to lose... lose faith here because this is now my third time doing the Rev Body Sculpting plan and I've had good results each and every time. And each and every time, it's not like I got to lose 30 pounds again, but it's also, you know, I added a few pounds here and there. In fact, more than a few pounds during the winter. And each time we get to the spring and summer, I try to lose that weight. So I'm doing the program and I lost, I think it was 7-8 pounds in the first week. And then I put a few of them back on and I'm trying to tell myself, hey, it's because I'm lifting weights now and because I'm getting rid of some fatty and adding muscle, but trying not to get discouraged because, you know, I feel better even if I'm not seeing the number I want on the scale. I feel a lot better, and it's also much better for my mental health. I don't know why it took me so long to realize that, but exercising and being healthier, I mean, there's all kinds of benefits, but I think maybe the most beneficial part of being healthier is mentally. But that's just me. All right, we got another hour to go and a lot to get to. Headlines coming up midway through. Also a chance to win $1,000. We'll empty out this text line. 502-653-0790 is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. You are in the Red Zone. Again, fueled by Thorns here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons.
That's right. You are in the Red Zone here on 790 KRD, and we are fueled by Thorns. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Coming up in about 20 to 25 minutes, you're going to have a chance to win $1,000 in the Keyword to Cash contest. So stick around. It's very easy. And all of you that say, hey, I play every day and I haven't won yet, that just means you're due. Could be your turn today. All right, so it's been a busy show thus far. I'm not sure what we've accomplished, but I've enjoyed myself. Hopefully you guys have as well. And thanks to those that have reached out to try to give me some advice on how to get this awful, awful smell out of my car. Benetti just stopped me before he started his show. And no, that's not an invitation to go across the hall. You need to stay with us here at 790 KRD. But he said the same thing happened to him when his son was a baby, whose son's now grown and in college. But I had milk that was in a bottle that I didn't realize the bottle was in the vehicle, in the car. My son, I guess, got mad, threw it. It ended up under the seat. Milk leaked onto my car and in on the floor, and now it's rotten milk. And it's one of the worst smells of all time. Nearly knocked me out when I opened my door today, and I don't know what to do. I've got my windows open outside, and I checked earlier. It does seem as if it's a little bit better, but Vanetti said, hey, look, it's just going to take time. It's awful. It's going to be weeks. You're going to be the stinky guy, which I'm smelling myself right now. I don't think I stink, but if I do, just know that that's why. It's not because I don't, you know, practice good hygiene. It's just, you know, bad situation. So again, anyways, we'll move on. All right, so the name we've talked about this morning, and you've heard the name before on the show, but now we know Louisville's in play for this guy, and that's Tyrese Hunter, an Iowa State transfer. When he entered the portal a couple of weeks ago, it was very obvious he was going to have a lot of options, and he may end up being one of the best players in the portal at his position. In fact, I think ESPN and the Stadium Network, they do rank him as the best guard in the portal. He was the Big 12 Freshman of the Year last season, broke every assist record for freshmen at Iowa State. That's a team that got a lot of attention in the Sweet 16 because they won two games a year ago and then made the second weekend a year later, and this is the guy that ran the show for that team. So he enters the portal a couple weeks ago, and you knew he was going to have options, as I mentioned, and here we found out yesterday he has trimmed his list to six schools, and Louisville is one of them, which that's encouraging. Louisville, Gonzaga, Kansas, Purdue, Tennessee, and Texas. Louisville has a lot to sell this guy as far as opportunity and role, minutes. Now, that may not be what he's looking for exactly because he had that at Iowa State, right? I mean, that was going to be his team next year, and he decided to leave. But Louisville has no other guard on the team outside of L. Ellis. I mean, that's the only guy you could potentially split minutes with, and in fact, I think you would play alongside him. So part of me says, hey, go get this done, Kenny Payne. I don't want to put pressure on you to go get it done, but I feel like if it was Chris Mack and he didn't get it, the fans would crush him. But I also know it's not easy, so I don't want to put pressure on him because, again, Louisville – and I've talked myself through this morning. I mean, again, who knows? Maybe they get him on campus for a visit, and he does pick Louisville, and that would be great. But just think about what the other schools have to sell that Louisville can't right now. I mean, Kenny Payne, I'm sure, is going to talk up the program and speak highly about the future, as he should. But he can't even tell Tyrese Hunter who's going to be on the team with him because you have five scholarships to fill. Well, all these other schools – I mean, again, Louisville is the outlier here. Now, Louisville, of course, when it comes to historically, they're a better program than every one of these schools outside of Kansas. Louisville, Gonzaga, Kansas, Purdue, Tennessee, and Texas. But, like, they're the outlier in real time because all those other schools are probably going to be preseason top 15, top 20. I mean, Kansas is the defending national champions. So when you look at the six schools he's listed, it tells you, man, he really wants to be to play for a competitor. And then there's Louisville. Because let's be real, we can't even process mentally the thought of Louisville being like a contender to make a deep tournament run until we know who's on the team. Now, maybe Tyrese Hunter can be the first big piece that's added and then help Kenny Payne go get other pieces in the portal. I don't know. But this would be a guy that if you could add him, not only is it exactly what you need, it's the guy that would change how we talk about Louisville. That's not to say he's the only guy you need because, again, you've got scholarships you got to fill. But this is going to be a name we really, really monitor until he makes a decision. And I guess the next step is for him to probably schedule some visits. And, again, fingers crossed that Louisville can get this kid. He averaged 11 points, 5 assists last year. Again, Big 12 freshman of the season. Had 71 steals, which is 6th most in school history in a single season. Coming out of high school in 2021, he was a top 5 point guard in his class, a top 40 kid overall. So he's got talent, and again, he'd be a big deal. Now, another name that we haven't really talked a whole lot about is Amani Bates. That's the Memphis transfer. I think we did talk about him last week, but I don't think there's really been any development as far as which way he's leaning. But Louisville was one of many schools that reached out to him. And yes, they have a little bit of a connection. Justin Perez, the director of operations that has not been formally announced, but he will be Kenny Payne's director of operations. He is the son of Roc Nation CEO, Jay-Z's agency. Amani Bates, coming out of high school, signed with Roc Nation. He is represented by Roc Nation for NIL. So that's a connection, but that's as far as, I mean, there's still no clue where this kid is going to end up. And again, I feel like most fans are in agreement. Like, you take the kid, even if he's clearly he had some baggage. There's some worry about his handlers and whatnot. Memphis got better when he stopped playing. He did have a great freshman season, but he also wasn't like a complete failure. He averaged double figures at Memphis as a 17-year-old playing college basketball. He's a guy that reclassified and jumped up a grade. He did not go back to his original class. He played as a 17-year-old, which, by the way, I should have mentioned this yesterday. Brandon Huntley Hatfield, the guy that transferred from Tennessee, same thing for him. I didn't realize this. I should have known this yesterday, but I did not. He should have been a high school senior last year. So, yeah, you've already got one. And I don't want to act like adding Brandon Huntley Hatfield wasn't a big deal because he's got a lot of upside and I think will really help this program moving forward. But Tyrese Hunter, to me, is the guy that would really change how we talk about this team. All right, it just hit me. And I'm surprised I hadn't seen this is a talking point until just now on Twitter, but right now we've only had one team eliminated from the playoffs. And that means stars of this league, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant are all done for the year. Now, again, the Lakers didn't even make it. Ben Simmons didn't play this year, so that's a little misleading, but it is wild to think about all those big names that are now no longer, the Lakers, again, were never involved in the playoffs this year. But the Nets losing last night felt great. They're the villain team. I thought maybe, they wouldn't, I thought maybe they'd become this new team, this new super team. But when you think of the main characters, Kevin Durant, this loss probably hurts his legacy a little bit. But we all know Kevin Durant is still one of the best players on the planet, maybe the best player on the planet when it comes to scoring the basketball. But he also is not exactly the most likable guy. And when I think of Kevin Durant, I'll always think of what he did when he left OKC, a team that beat him in the playoffs, to go join a 73-win team in Golden State. That's the weakest thing I've ever seen from an NBA star. But he's still a really good player. So I don't think KD has many super fans unless they just were Texas fans or fans of the team he plays for. But like, everybody respects him as an elite player, right? And if you don't, you're foolish because, again, he's phenomenal, even though they lost last night and got swept. Kyrie Irving, to me, Kyrie Irving is harmless. Like, I don't really care about his vaccination stance. Like, I don't agree with him. I think he made himself sound foolish at times, but like, I don't dislike him because he doesn't believe in the vaccination. I disagree with him. But like, to me, Kyrie gives off this snobby vibe / demeanor that he is just on a different level intellectually than all of us. Like, we just wouldn't understand because he just thinks so deep. And that annoys me, but like, he's kind of harmless. Ben Simmons, though, he to me has become maybe the most unpopular person in the NBA. Like, does Ben Simmons have fans? And I bring this up because I wanted to share this sound with you guys who weren't with us in the 7 o'clock hour. But Stephen A. Smith, I like Stephen A. Smith. I think he's a funny character. Oftentimes when I find myself enjoying Stephen A., it's not because he made some great analysis. It's because I just think he's a funny character. His delivery's funny. His antics are funny. Well, you combine his antics and his delivery and his style, the character that he is, you combine that with him making really good points about Ben Simmons, I thought this was phenomenal.
I feel bad for anybody who was his teammate. He quit on LSU. He quit on the Philadelphia 76ers. And now he ain't showing up for the Brooklyn Nets. We can point to all the excuses, all the rationale behind it that we want to. I do recall, despite him not playing, he still filed a grievance to collect $20 million that he has not earned. This is one of the most pathetic situations that I've ever seen in my life. He ain't going to war. He ain't going in the octagon. He's not going in a boxing ring. It's pulling teeth to get this man to play basketball. It's pathetic. It's sad. And at the end of the day, when the NBA gets in the collective bargaining table and they go after the players in terms of a pay-for-play stipulation in the collective bargaining agreement, it's going to be called the Ben Simmons rule.
Now, here's another one. And by the way, everything he said there, the fact that he didn't play and he still thinks he's owed $20 million, like what? Imagine not having to work. And just because you don't want to and still getting paid like that. I mean, maybe you have a job where you could do that, but that wouldn't work. It wouldn't work for me. And this is one that just is, this is, again, we've had a lot of interaction this morning on the show. Nobody has yet to tell me if they've heard anything similar to this. I can't think of an analyst on a network like ESPN, like Stephen A., or CBS, Fox, whatever. These comments about Ben Simmons are, I got to say, I agree with them, but man, they're harsh, they are personal, and I just don't think you hear this stuff very often, especially the very end of this clip.
Notice I say Kyrie Irving is one of the most selfish superstars we've ever seen, and obviously one of the most selfish athletes we've ever seen. I didn't say the word the as a number one, because obviously he ain't got nothing on Ben Simmons. Nobody is worse than Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons might also be the weakest, most pathetic excuse for a professional athlete we have ever seen.
I mean, those are, in Bullitt County where I'm from, those are fighting words. That's far from analysis on you as a player. That's an insult. Listen to this.
Ben Simmons might also be the weakest, most pathetic excuse for a professional athlete we have ever seen.
Yikes. But I don't really disagree with him. I don't know if I would have the stones to say that, but geez. It almost seems personal from Stephen A. for some reason. But yes, I think the Nets are the villains of the NBA, and to see them get swept by the Celtics was satisfying on my end. I don't know about you guys. All right, it looks like, I'm just only updating you guys on this because it is something we talked about earlier, but Fordham has hired Keith Ergo, Bruiser Flint, Kentucky assistant, was believed to be assistant to the coach. He was believed to be a candidate for that job and was going to interview, but they've already hired somebody. So trust me, this came up earlier, but it's not like we're saying this was actually going to happen. But if a job, if Cal did have a staff spot open up, which again, he's not going to now unless it's, unexpected here. And I will say this, Shire tried to go take Jai Lucas from him, which Jai Lucas staying put at Kentucky should make Kentucky fans feel better because he's a rising star in coaching and he had a chance to go join Duke staff and decided to stay put at Kentucky. So anyways, the thought of Bruiser Flint leaving and that opening up a potential member of Calipari staff, that just had somebody on the text line asking, would he hire Milt Wagner? Maybe he'd hire DeJuan Wagner to get DJ Wagner. And I don't think Kentucky fans would be against it. I think they would be fine with Calipari hiring Milt or DeJuan if it meant getting DJ Wagner from Louisville. And look, Louisville fans seem to be fine with hiring Milt because of DJ. I mean, I know DeJuan Wagner's comments over the weekend got a lot of attention. He thinks it's silly that DJ should have to go to Louisville for Milt to get a job because Milt's a legend, and he is. But Milt hasn't been coaching in over. I mean, if you want to make the argument that Milt should have been able to join the staff long ago, sure, fair enough. That was a long time ago. Maybe Denny should have offered him a job whenever DeJuan was in high school, and he didn't. I did ask somebody yesterday if they knew if that was a thing, and they said they don't believe Denny ever tried to hire Milt to get DeJuan, and Cal did, and it worked. So, let's just be real with ourselves here. If DJ Wagner didn't exist, Milt Wagner would never be talked about as one of these third assistant coaches. I can't prove that. There's never any way to know if that's a fact, but that's what I believe, and I think I'm justified in believing that. But he does happen to exist, and he's the number one player in America. And it's not like Milt Wagner's just this guy off the street who's never been a part of college basketball. He was an assistant for 14 years at three different schools. Been a while since he's been in the game, but let's be real. The big reason we're talking Milt potentially joining the staff is because of DJ. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Even if it is one guy, and let's say Milt Wagner never played another key role in you landing another player, which that may not be the case because DJ Wagner's got some really good teammates up there in New Jersey that may want to join him at Louisville. But nonetheless, DJ Wagner being the number one player in America, that could give your program so much notoriety that you do it every single time. Every day you would hire Milt to get DJ because, who knows, maybe DJ Wagner would turn out to not be as good as advertised, but if he's even as close to as good as people think he is, he's a player that could end up getting you a lot more like him, if that makes sense, right? Louisville has never been able to show this is a place you go as an elite recruit and you can get to the NBA quickly. And look, they've been able to succeed without having one-and-dones. Let's be real. I actually think one-and-done talent, you'll take it all day, every day if you can get it. But there's so many schools that have been able to really turn themselves into a mini one-and-done factory, not to the level of a Kentucky or a Duke, but there have been many schools that landed highly ranked recruits that were one-and-dones for sure, and they really didn't have much to show for it. So you can get it done without getting those kind of players, but in order to kind of swim in those waters, you need to have a track record. Louisville needs to put a few guys. Louisville, I don't know if this is still true. Well, no, it's not true because Virginia, there's no way Tony Bennett's had a one and done. But when Louisville won the title, which was 8 years ago, and I think even going up to like 2017, 18, something like that. I remember looking into this years ago in a piece that I wrote. But from 2000 on, for about roughly 20 years, Louisville was the only school to have a national championship in that time frame and not have a single one-and-done player in that time frame. And I don't even know what to make of that, but like Louisville clearly just didn't. Rick Pitino had a formula. He recruited pretty well. It didn't seem like it at the time because everybody found themselves comparing his recruiting classes to Kentucky's recruiting classes, which nobody was touching. Calipari in the first 5 years was landing 4 to 5 top 20 players annually. Nobody was doing that. Nobody probably ever will, other than what John Shire's doing right now. So Rick's classes looked a lot better in hindsight, now that we saw some of the classes that Chris Mack brought in. Now, again, Chris had a harder job bringing in players because of a mess that was left here, but still, Kenny Payne's going to go after the elite players, and I think you start getting a few of them, you have some success as a program, meaning you win, you're competitive at a high level, and you put guys in the league, then you'll get more of them. We just have never had it happen here. And I think it's, you know, I would say that's going to be the formula for Kenny Payne and his staff moving forward. All right, quickly, we got headlines coming up on the other side and a shot for you to win $1,000. So stick around. But I just found this to be interesting. I won't talk much horse racing from now until Derby because I don't want to make a fool of myself. I'm somebody that won't fake it because I wouldn't be good at faking it. I don't know anything about horse racing, and I say that 1,000% sincere. I mean, I know the Derby, and I watch the Derby, and I bet on it, and I enjoy everything that comes with Derby season in Louisville. But when it comes to the sport of horse racing, I know very little. In fact, I enjoyed in recent years when we've had all this drama because it just makes us talk about it more. But nonetheless, here is the profile of a Kentucky Derby winner over the last 30 years. 21 of the 30 horses that have won the Derby in the last 30 years were born in Kentucky. 28 were colts. 2 were, is it geldings? Am I saying that right? Again, this shows you how little I know about horse racing. The average winning time is 2 minutes, 4 seconds, and 2/5 of a second. The average age of a jockey, this surprised me a little bit, 36 years old. I, for some reason, thought that would be a little bit older. The post position that produced the most winners in the last 30 years was post position 16. Now, the horse's colors, bay, the color, is that, I didn't even know that was a color, but it is. Bay horse color. That is produced 50% of the winners in the last 30 years, where 30% have been chestnut and 20% have been gray. And the last time there was a favorite was in 2018 when it was Justify. Is that right? Didn't we have a long streak of favorites winning this thing? And you're telling me the last time it happened was 4 years ago? All right. Also, how often does the favorite win the Derby? The Derby favorite has won 30% of the time. So 70% of the time it's been a horse that was not the actual betting favorite. Which really, that's not that surprising given that, I mean, it's harder for the favorites to win when you've got 20 horses that you're competing against. The three most successful jockeys in the last 30 years are John Velasquez, Kent DeSormo, and Calvin Burrell, all of which have won the Derby three times each since 1992. So there you go, a little the profile of a Derby winner. Use that when you make your wager if you're somebody like myself who doesn't know anything about the actual horses. And just you know, I'm not like mocking the Derby because, again, I love everything that comes with Derby season in Louisville. But what I found interesting is the stories about the people who own them, the trainers, you know, how they got their name, that kind of stuff. That's what I kind of nerd out on. But again, if you're looking for horse racing analysis, this will not be a place where you will find that, at least from me. Maybe we have somebody stop by and talk or something. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the Derby, but I think our Derby coverage on this show will be different than most, and I'm completely fine with that. Matt Allen's got a second job where he goes and talks horse racing and breaks down the ponies and does all that stuff, but we don't do it here on this show. And I'm not going to let him promote it because I don't want him to get too big as a horse racing handicapper and leave the show, because we need him to stick around. He's very valuable, and his real true value shows coming up next when he delivers the Fast Five headlines.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
I still don't understand how Twitter was worth $44 billion, given that there's not even an option for like a subscription, like a premium version of Twitter. But yes, it's a big deal. Everybody's talking about it.
You think you could get a billion for this show?
I don't know, man.
I mean, if you think...
Nobody pays for this show.
I mean, but do you think if Twitter can get 44 billion, you think you could get a million for this show?
Probably not.
No?
Not alone.
Okay.
But you never know. I mean, I'm sure... Maybe I shouldn't sell myself short given 44 billion is what Twitter went for. But, you know... Again, I don't have any real – all I keep hearing about is that people may leave Twitter. And I guess the potential return of Donald Trump, 45 himself, to Twitter, that is what has people talking about it.
Are people going to leave Twitter the same way they were going to move out of America if certain things happened? Is that what's going to happen there?
Well done.
I mean, I don't remember the stipulations for why everybody was going to move out of America. But
yeah.
I do remember that being a thing.
Well, everybody's talking about free speech, which, what I mean, you can say anything you want on Twitter, can't you? I mean, I guess some people get blocked and banned from Twitter, but usually if that happens, I think it's for justifiable reasons. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't.
You can still say anything you want. You just exactly. Might get blocked or banned.
Yeah. But what Musk said right before he bought it was that, quote, he said, well, prior to the deal announced, Musk tweeted, he wants his harshest critics to stay on the site. He said that is what free speech means. So I guess he's making this purchase as a political statement. At least that's what made that seem that way. But then I read a release sort of about what he planned to do, and it was just about making the experience on Twitter better and the overall app better. So if that's the case, then sign me up. I don't get it, but hey, Twitter still works, and that's if there's any changes, I haven't seen them yet.
It's time for the Fast Five headlines with the marvelous Matt Allen.
Number one.
Before we get to number one, we don't often do this. In fact, we hardly ever do it. But because we've had so much interaction on the show this morning about your car situation and the spilled milk, you did rehash it earlier in the hour, but I thought it would be interesting to hear a clip from earlier in the show about you talking about your car and what happened, since everybody's been on the text line. So I have a clip from earlier in the show about Nick talking about his car and the spilled milk and how it smells disgusting.
You stink.
What do you mean I stink?
You stink. Why don't you go take a shower?
I showered. Oh, but wait a second. Since I showered, I've been in the car.
So?
Don't you see what's happening here? It's attached itself to me. It's alive.
All right, what happened?
What happened? My car stinks is what happened. And it's destroying the lives of everyone in its path.
That's accurate. That's the way I laid it out earlier, because it's that bad.
Sorry about that.
But I would like to know, like, if I do stink, tell me. Like, don't just tell me to mess with me. But like,
I haven't gone in there. I'm scared to.
Because if I smell like the car, then I need to be aware, and I need to just make arrangements to not be in the vehicle, because it's that bad. So for those who missed it, my son's bottle had milk in it, leaked in the car, didn't realize it, opened the door this morning, and good God, I almost died.
From the NBA department, usually the first round's boring, and I'm not saying this first round is electric, but there are a lot of interesting storylines. Unfortunately, some of them are bad, like injuries and things. But the NBA continued last night, 3 games, and our first team eliminated from the playoffs, Brooklyn. What a joke. 4 and out. They lose to the Celtics 116-112. Kyrie, Kevin, I'm sorry, UT's butt, the guy who didn't even play, is they're all out. They're gone. As Boston moves on to the second round, and Toronto also got a win over Philadelphia. They're 2 wins away from coming back 3-0 on the Sixers, possibly. They're heading to Toronto for Game 6. They win 103-88, and Dallas took a lead in their series with a gigantic blowout over Utah, 102-77. They lead that series 3-2. Tonight, the games continue. 3 more games tonight, and that's going to start on ESPN? No, I'm sorry. It's going to start on NBA TV, Game 5 of Hawks-Heat. The Heat can close that one out with a win tonight in Miami. Then it'll move to TNT for Game 5 of Grizzlies-Timberwolves, which that series is tied at 2, and it'll wrap up another Game 5 where the series is tied at 2. The Suns and Pelicans, they'll start at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I can't give real, you know, thoughts on the first round thus far, because I just haven't been as into it as much. So, like, I can't criticize it. It's not that I'm not watching it because I think it's lousy. But it just sucks that the Suns, the number one seed in the West, are dealing with the Booker injury. And I think it would have been better for the NBA had the Nets actually been a factor, because they have maybe the biggest star in the NBA and Kevin Durant. But hopefully we get competitive series moving forward, because that's when it gets good. The playoffs really heat up when you get to the conference finals, which you still got the second round to get through.
But. By the way, something to keep an eye on in that Utah series. I mean, they may be done anyway, but Donovan Mitchell had to leave the game with a hamstring injury, which I don't know if it's the same kind of hamstring injury that Devin Booker has been out for there in most of their series with, but they said they would reevaluate Donovan, and we'll see if he'll play in Game 6. But he did say he'll be fine after the game, but we'll see.
Yeah, without him, I mean, that series is probably over, I'd say, because they were really bad without him.
Maybe over anyway, but...
Yeah, I agree. Mavs look good. Number 2.
From the More Hardware department, I don't know how this works. Seems like, I mean, I guess it's a compliment to him, but the third-year pro, who just 2 years ago won Rookie of the Year... I guess made a leap too big. I mean, he was already good. He won Rookie of the Year. Was he terrible last year? Anyway, Ja Morant won the NBA's Most Improved Player yesterday. He beat out DeJounte Murray, Spurs guard, and Cavs guard Darius Garland, who were fellow finalists for the award. Although he did decide to give his award, at least momentarily, to teammate Desmond Bane, who actually finished 5th in the voting and had seven player. Or he had seven first place votes for the award. Desmond Bane did have a really good year. John Morant did average. He averaged 19 points last season. He made an eight point jump. He averaged 27-6-5 this year, shooting 49 from the field and 34% from three. Of course, the Grizzlies went from the 8 seed in the West last year to the 2 seed in the West this year, and the second best record in the NBA. And I think they were, but I do think they were 20-5, if I'm not mistaken, without Ja Morant this year. So it wasn't like they stunk without him. But currently struggling with the Timberwolves right now. But he did get 38 of 100 first place votes for the award, and Ja Morant is your NBA's most improved player of the year.
Yeah, no surprise there. In fact, I didn't realize that, you know, he was good a year ago. This is his third year, is that right?
Yeah.
He was. I mean, I kind of feel like he's been at this level for a couple years now, but I guess not for him to make the jump here and win that award for most improved player. I'm curious.
Kind of seems weird that a guy would win rookie of the year, which means he had a good year.
Yeah.
And then most improved player 2 years later. Well, I mean, what are you, I don't know. He just has to be like amazing, or were you saying last year he stunk? I don't think 19 points on the 8th seed in the West stinks.
So, yeah, let's look at this the history of this award, because Ja Morant to me is already an established superstar in the league, right? I mean, he's a candidate for MVP of the league and a deserving one at that. I feel like most improved player is a guy who just makes a good improvement but is never real. Like, for example, like Julius Randle was an all-star last year, but I don't think he was ever at any point in his career been the level that Ja Morant is right now. Brandon Ingram won it a year before that. Pascal Siakam won it a year before that. Victor Oladipo. Giannis won it, so he's clearly, I don't know if Ja will become what Giannis has become, but that's another superstar. Most of these guys who win the award end up going on and having good careers as established players, maybe not superstars. The only guy I could think of that's kind of random that won this award was in 2011 and 12, Ryan Anderson won it. And I know who Ryan Anderson is, but after 2012, it doesn't look like he did much of anything. Number three.
From the Still the King department, Thanksgiving is known as an NFL day, just like NBA has become known as, or Christmas has become known as an NBA day. But the NFL wants another day, apparently. And specifically, one of the NFL broadcasters wants another day. According to NBC Sports, Amazon is pushing the NFL to schedule a game on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, of course, the biggest shopping day of the year. Now, this was made possible by a resolution passed by team owners, apparently, giving the NFL permission to schedule two more teams for a second short week game, and Amazon wants the game. Now, of course, Amazon has just jumped in with both feet to the NFL family. They'll be the sole broadcaster of Thursday night football games for this upcoming season, and maybe this would work. A lot of people do Black Friday shopping online now. Who knows? But on top of this, this would be on top of the Thursday night broadcasting rights they're already paying for. Amazon is now reportedly offering $80 to $100 million just for the Black Friday game, which is what most networks pay for a wild card game. That's a lot of money for one night.
They want to get in this space, don't they?
They do want to get in this space. It'll be very interesting. Now, if this all were to come together in 7 months' time, something's very specific. Also, a big event. Not that it would matter here, but if there is one time this sport does matter in this country, it would be this time. But there is a significant conflict going on. If the Black Friday game does come into play this year, it would at least have to go up against the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, it looks like the U.S. Men would be facing England in the afternoon on Black Friday.
Be a hell of a Black Friday.
That would be quite the day.
Have you ever watched anything live on Amazon? I haven't.
Live. I may have flipped over to one of those.
The baseball's on there, right?
The football games during just to see how the broadcast was one time.
I knew there was one night where if I was going to watch it at home, I was going to have to watch it on Amazon, but I wasn't at home. I watched it at a sports bar or something on a Thursday. But yeah, it would be interesting to go to the Amazon app and there it is live right there.
This will work. I watched a couple weeks ago. I watched the Apple TV broadcast of Major League Baseball.
That's getting good reviews.
They did very well. Yeah. It was just perfect.
Number four.
Four walls to hear me.
From the returning to normal department, Novak Djokovic, we talked about him and his deal with the Australian Open. He will be allowed to defend his Wimbledon title after organizers at the All England Club said that players will not need to be vaccinated against COVID-19 in order to compete in the tournament this season.
Another step.
Yep. Djokovic missed the Australian Open, of course, in January due to not being vaccinated. But the All England Club CEO Sally Bolton said unvaccinated players will also not need to quarantine on arrival ahead of the tournament. Players will also be allowed to book their own accommodations rather than all stay at the same hotel like they did last year. Of course, Djokovic will first compete at the French Open before Wimbledon. So it looks like the French Open has lifted its restrictions as well. Previously in the year, it was thought that he would have to miss them both because he's not vaccinated. But now it appears like he will not have to.
It's good news. We don't have time for number five again, do we?
No, not really.
It's back-to-back days where I've let you down. I apologize. I'll do better moving forward. I think I've said that before. This time I really mean it, though.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union tax line at 502-653-0790.
All right, let's try to do this once more. I'm going to see how long we can keep this going. Famous birthdays, celebrities. I assume Matt knows who at least a few of these are. Channing Tatum, how old do you think he is today?
Channing Tatum?
Yes.
33.
41.
Holy cow.
Melania Trump.
56?
51.
Okay.
How about Kevin James?
54?
56.
Okay.
Aaron Judge. I would have got this way wrong.
25.
I would have thought he was closer to 25. He's 29. Is that right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I guess it makes sense. There's other celebrities mentioned here on this famousbirthdays.com website, but they're like TikTok stars. I don't even know who they are, so I assume that
is it
that
Jimmy Mac?
No, I'm seeing a
Billy Squeeze.
Are these real people?
I don't know. I'm just,
what about TV shows?
I'm trying to think what TikTok names might be.
Carol Burnett. You know who that is?
Yeah.
Take a guess.
86.
88.
Okay.
Tom Welling.
Oh, he's the Superman guy.
Yeah.
42.
44.
Okay.
You're pretty much in the only one you were way off on was Channing Tatum.
That was bad.
I can't blame you for that one. All right, we're out of time. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. We will talk to you tomorrow, bright and early, right here.
Or tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And please pray for my car that it doesn't smell like molded, rotten milk.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.